the information that we need to become whole, to thrive on this planet, is not by following an outside given authority. It's by turning to ourselves, our deeper selves, our consciousness, as the guide. The authority is that we seek must be in us.
Hello, I'm Julie Kroll. You're listening to the Dr. Julie Show, All Things Connected. Each week we gather right here to make connections that break through the illusion of separation. Welcome. Your journey of conscious evolution continues right here, right now. Humanity is facing its greatest series of simultaneous crises. How do we work with what we now know to resolve the crises? How do we become co-evolutionary partners with our conscious living planet? Our guest today offers a scientifically based and whole systems perspective on what is called for at this transformational time. He suggests higher levels of consciousness and coherence can keep us on a positive evolutionary trajectory. Can a vision of well-being and wholeness, along with the new science, shift our worldview and return us to peace and harmony on planet Earth? We are going to ask him. I invite you to take a few conscious breaths, bring your awareness to your heart, relax and open your mind, and settle into your essential wholeness as I introduce my co-host and our guest. Co-host Dr. Jude Kuravan is a cosmologist, planetary healer, futurist, and author of the best-selling and award-winning book, The Cosmic Hologram. Jude just published The Story of Gaia, which has inspired this series, Our Conscious Planet. And Dr. Irvin Laszlo is a philosopher and systems scientist, the author, co-author, or editor of 106 different books that have appeared in a total of 25 languages. He has written over 400 articles and research papers. The subject of the one-hour PBS special, Life of a Modern Day Genius, Laszlo is the founder and president of the international think tank, the Club of Budapest, and of the prestigious the Laszlo Institute of New Paradigm Research. The recipient of various honors and awards, including honorary PhDs from the United States, Canada, Finland, Hungary, Laszlo received the Goy Award, the Japan Peace Prize in 2001, the Assisi Mandur of Peace Prize in 2006, and was nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize in 2004 and 2005. Welcome to our program, Irvin. It's so nice to have you with us again.
Julie, it's wonderful to be here. Could you allow me to add an item to what you just said?
Sure.
And it's very recent. 2 hours ago, I received a message from India, where a high spiritual authority in India had decided to award me an honorary doctorate. They asked me if I would agree, and I said I would agree. And so now they said, okay, now you can use the doctor's title, even though the formal ceremony will be in Delhi in February 3rd. But so, in addition to Hungary and Finland and Canada and US, now I have this to add to my bio, India.
Oh, congratulations.
Because India is the chief spiritual country, spiritual environment, I think, on this planet.
Oh, that's perfect. That's perfect. Irvin, we are so excited to have you here today. And Jude and I have been doing this Conscious Planet series since her book, The Story of Gaia, was released. And many of your recent books, especially The Upshift and The Survival Imperative, speak to our intrinsic, interdependent relationship with Gaia. But that's not the story of our classical physics with its mechanistic view of the world. And then there's Newton's universal law of nature heavily influences this worldview of separation. So with you, the new physics, you explain this in your recent books, the new physics demonstrates this intrinsically and instantaneously interconnected wholeness throughout space and time. And as in Jude's story of Gaia, we know we are part of a conscious living universe. So from your perspective, Dr. Laszlo, how do we upshift or evolve humanity to an interconnected whole worldview?
Well, that's the big question. It's a question of our being and of our even our well-being, but even our very being on this planet. Before I get to that, let me just say, when I say something about the new, and you say something about new physics, actually, I'm not a physicist. I am a philosopher of science. But I like to quote, and I understand something about the new physics. Jude understands a great deal more as a cosmologist. Let me just say, I take the whole task of explaining what a scientific worldview is in that contingent sense in which Einstein talked, about which Einstein talked when he said that in science we try to provide the simplest possible scheme that will connect the observations. The simplest possible scheme, it doesn't mean that it is reality. That is our best estimate of what reality could be. And this is going beyond just imagination. This is picking up our guideline from what there is from scientifically and experimentally shown. And then we try to provide the simplest possible scheme that can explain those things. So when we talk about new physics, I say, what we say today about the new physics is not necessarily the last word. It's what we now think is the most logical explanation we can find of the very surprising, amazing facts that are coming to light and that Jude has researched so thoroughly. Now, as to what is what needed today, I can give a very quick answer, then we can discuss it. It's a tremendously important question, and it really deserves a book, and I've written several books to try to answer just particularly this point. But let me just summarize in a few words what I really intend to convey is that the information that we need to become whole, to thrive on this planet, is not by following an outside given authority. It's by turning to ourselves, our deeper selves, our consciousness, as the guide. The authority is that we seek must be in us. I trust this authority because what I can understand from the nature of the world around us, it is a world in which there is no separation, in which all things are hanging together, in which probably you can't even talk about separate things of communicating or being connected to each other. We can more likely talk about only a oneness, because as the finding in quantum physics, what happens to a particle that has been in the same quantum shape, quantum condition, state, as another particle, those particles are not only connected, they remain essentially one. So this non-local universe that Jude is talking about, and that we now think is the closest explanation of what we can find in the real world, that is the answer. That is to go inside and find what there is in us about the world. Because what there is in us, again, I'm going back to Jude's and her book about the holographic universe, what there is out there is really reflected what there is in here. Or rather, I must say, what is in here is a summary, is a reflection of what there is in the whole universe. We are, every atom in our body, every quantum in every atom is reflecting the totality of this tremendously interconnected, actually tremendously one universe in which we live, of which we are a part. So I trust our intuitions because our intuitions make us what we are, because the intuitions that we have make the universe what it is, not a haphazard, chance-based, random series of events, but a coherent world which is emerging toward higher and higher levels of coherence and evolution and evolutionary passage the trajectory leaving in that direction. Difficult to explain, difficult to agree. There's so much incoherence in the world immediately around us. There's so much conflict and so many problems. How can we still talk about the higher level of coherence? But I think we can, and I look forward to discussing this with Jude.
I would love to talk about coherence too, but I think Jude probably wants to jump in here. I loved your response about trusting that intuition. It was brilliant, and I could see Jude was ready to jump in here. So Jude, I'm going to let you follow up with that, and then maybe we can go talk about coherence, because I think coherence and complexity and consciousness is the crux of what the important pieces that you could bring through for us, Irvin. So thank you for that. Jude?
Thank you, Irvin. And I loved what you said about Einstein. You know, the universe is as simple as it can be, but no simpler. To undertake its purpose, its evolutionary purpose. And you've worked so wonderfully over so many decades to really help reveal that evolutionary journey from simplicity to complexity and ever greater levels of individuated awareness. And one of the things that I've really valued with all your writings is that you are both reminding us and rehearting us that we belong. We have an intrinsic belonging as co-creators, as microcosmic co-creators to our living and evolving universe. And before we go on to talking about this understanding of coherence and what it might mean for us now, I just want to, as Julie has, congratulate you again on this doctorate today and how lovely that synchronicity is, because one of my questions with you has been that you very early, one of your earliest books, referred to the Indian concept of the Akashic Field. And, you know, the ancient Indian writings, you know, the Upanishads, the Bhagavad Gitas, all talk about consciousness as all pervasive. And they also talk about a universe that is both innately conscious and remembers its story of evolution from the very beginning, you know, the Akashic field, the Akashic record. So in today, having been given this further honor, and duly well-deserved, I'd like to ask you a little bit about both the sense of a universe that knows itself and has this universal memory of its journey, and what that means for us now, and what that means for us to guide us into greater levels of coherence and as co-evolutionary partners of a continuing journey of evolution.
Very, very important, Jude. Thanks so much for your remarks. I'm just recall, as you talked, this finding that in India and some other places where incarnation, reincarnation is an accepted fact, there is a higher level of solidarity, higher level of community on this life as well. Because people feel that they are not here transitorily. They really belong together and they are going to be reborn again into this world. And that already makes people a bit more community-oriented. If we could recognize that, know that this universe is a universe is of oneness, the universe is memory, so that whatever we do will stay with us. What we are today has been produced yesterday, but will not disappear tomorrow. We are here as part of an enduring memory field, fully oneness-oriented sphere or field, a sphere of existence, which is all-encompassing, which is your Gaia, but your Gaia and the earthly Gaia obviously is a part of it. There is the super Gaia, perhaps, the cosmos that your books are talking about and we have talked about. And that is a level of existence which is so different from the everyday concept of little separate material things moving about in empty space. So very different, so that it's very difficult for people who have grown up and who believe firmly that reality is material and is really obeying mechanical laws in an indifferent and impassive space. That universe is really that. So very difficult to understand that the cosmos, as we come to know it, as the simplest possible scheme that can explain the fact, that cosmos is a sphere of oneness and coherence with memory. We are what we are, what we have always have been, and what we will be. We have a transitory experience, but beyond that, there is this greater oneness which we can know that we belong to. If we can just find that way to rationally upshifting our consciousness, so we recognize that we are really part of this remarkable sphere of being, which is not empty, which is not mechanical, which is not separating anything, which is a oneness with memory and with a total wholeness, consciousness, if you want to apply the word consciousness, which I like to do, is what it is. It is. Consciousness is one. Schrödinger said that, and many other great physicists and scientists have said that, Jung also. Consciousness is one. You can't divide that into separate. And consciousness, the one consciousness that there is the cosmos. A far cry from the idea, the classical idea, that consciousness is something that is generated by the brain of human beings, to the motion of neurons, the interaction of neurons. All this is very surprising, very different from what he thought it was. And we better learn that it is more closer to the truth. We can't say that it is the truth. We don't know that. But I think it's closer to the truth, the most rational, most logical explanation of what there is, of what we observe that there is. And if that is also the key to our well-being and even to our being. Because if we realize that we live in that universe, we are not going to go out short-term exploiting each other, out-competing each other, and just trying to push for our own immediate advantage, which is a short-term and transitory advantage compared to the long-term oneness, which is really our real place in the universe.
Erwin, that was really a potent response to that, and I really appreciate you bringing in consciousness. You said in the upshift that consciousness is as real as energy, frequency, information, and matter, even more real than matter. And Judoy says, my favorite phrase of hers is, she says, mind and consciousness aren't something that we have, but rather what we and the whole world are. And so I really appreciate that. And when I was listening to you, I heard this very simple prescription for us moving forward is when you began talking about consciousness and the universe as oneness and coherence, it's like if we can relax into our own true nature, this true state of being in oneness and coherence, we become that. We have greater coherence. But when we think we're separate, we think we have to go out into the world and create more coherence somehow. And when I was listening to you, I was just relaxing. I was thinking, wow, if that is our true nature and the true state of being is oneness, wholeness with coherence, because consciousness is whole and one, then that's the radical shift for us. It's a shift in our perspective or our perception of the cosmos. So we are not creating greater coherence. That's one of the things that many individuals and organizations on the planet are working toward right now is how do we create greater coherence? How do we create greater coherence? And the invitation perhaps is step back and relax into our true nature of reality. I'm wondering how that sits with you, Erwin.
Perfectly. Julie, that's exactly what I'd like to say. You said it. Sure, we have to relax back to ourselves. We have to become, again, consciously become what we are. We have temporarily said goodbye to what we really are, temporarily an aberration of our being on this planet. I think traditional cultures were closer to this oneness, to this belongingness. to their tribe and to nature around them. Increasingly, over the modern age, we have more and more moved away, thinking that we can dominate nature, thinking that what we do artificially, synthetically, is an improvement over what nature produces, and that what our advantage lies in exploiting the energies, the information that we have in nature, the materials, to our own, to serve our immediate advantage. And that our immediate advantage is not really living in coherence. It's to make money, to have more power, more influence, to satisfy our immediate short-term needs. If that is really the meaning of our life, then it would be a very sad story. That is not a universe in which I would choose to live if I had a choice. But this is a different universe. This is a whole universe. It's a quasi-living universe. I think the whole concept of life, that's something we can also likewise discuss, is a much more inclusive one. All coherent systems, evolving natural systems, are essentially living systems, are systems that arose on this planet as a reflection of that holographic oneness, which is the Gaia system and which is the system of the Gaia system here on this planet. So, you know, we are living in a fantastic, marvelous, almost miraculous universe. You know, I'm coming back again with this term to what one Einstein said once. You can live, there are two ways you can live your life, either if everything is a miracle or as if nothing is. Or you might think that living your life as if everything is a miracle is a non-scientific attitude. Actually, I think it's the most deeply scientific attitude. It's the awe that allows us to look at the world with open eyes and open ears and try to comprehend what there is, not pretending, believing that already we know the answers. A tremendous sophistic thinking. Over 100 years ago, they declared that practically everything that's knowable but in physics is already known. But now we find that what is known is a very tiny fraction of what is likely to be the case. But at least I think we're moving in the right direction. And what you are, both of you, Julie and Jude, are articulating is that direction in which I think we should be moving.
Thank you, Irvin. Thank you. And what I know all three of us value and love so much is that the wholeness of the world, the unity, isn't uniformity. It's expressed in radical diversity, which enables the universe to explore and experience and evolve itself. It's such incredible levels of interdependence and interbeing. And I just feel that one of the things that I've always loved about your work, Irvin, is how you value those diverse voices. Because when they come together, that is coherence. Coherence isn't a single note, is it? It's when everything is understanding itself to be part of this wondrous wholeness, expressed and differentiated in its uniqueness.
You know, what you're saying calls for really another term, which is the same term that you have in mind, which is harmony. Harmony is made up of different notes.
Love it.
Being coherent.
Yes.
And that's what they are.
Yes.
You don't have harmony if it's a single note. Just the same way.
No, you cannot. Exactly.
You can't have harmony if it's conflicting notes either. So peace and harmony, this is nowadays in my new book also saying that this is what we are trying to explore, the path to peace and harmony on the planet. I think that is the key insight that we need to breathe, the insight that we don't know, but we can seek. And we can seek perhaps in a privilege, in the right direction, not in the short term, not in the self-centered way, but in the way in which we know that we belong to something bigger than we are. Interesting enough, you know, William James has said that the religious experience is the experience of feeling that we belong to something bigger than we are. And that is, I think, the aesthetic experience also of harmony. It's a scientific experience when things work out. It's an amazing feeling, Jude, isn't it? When you find that you come across something, all of a sudden things work. That's the way they hang together. you learn something about which is likely to be true. So we are moving with your series and with your books, Jude and Julie, we are moving in a direction which gives us premise, ground for hope. We can move out of this aberration of short-term, self-centered, egoistic thinking, move toward a higher level of felt oneness, experienced oneness, for which the best expression, I think, is the popular, and again, popular word, which is love.
Beautiful. Irvin, I have so many more questions, but I'm going to close with just one more, because you brought up this idea of William James saying we belong when we really have that felt experience of belonging to something bigger than ourselves. It's key. And you wrote a beautiful endorsement for Jude's book. You called it perhaps the greatest story ever told. And I think there's also this piece of belonging to something greater, being this living conscious planet, this story of Gaia, that we really belong in the story of Gaia. So I'm just wondering if you want to just expand on that a bit of why this message that Jude brought forward with the story of Gaia is so important now. And what does it mean to you?
Well, this is a story of my home. It's where I am at home, you know. And that's the story of it, is the origins of that. People love to trace the genealogy and to find what the great-grandfather was and did and so on. But here, the genealogy is Gaia. This is where we come from. This is where we belong. So it's give people a home. Give people some place where they can return to and say, this is where I belong. This is where I am, essentially. A system which in its 4 billion years of existence, of life on Earth, is moving constantly toward higher levels of complexity, higher level of coherence, meaning oneness among all its elements, an unbroken whole living entity that is the planet, that is Gaia, and we are part of it. There can be no better assurance that we are not in a strange place, that we are not foreigners, that in fact there are probably no foreigners at all, because we are all part of this system. We are all elements, manifestations of this drive which is built into the universe, the drive toward coherence and complexity, wholeness and harmony. We can use all these terms, but they all mean the same thing, essentially. And that's what we are talking about. A universe, a cosmos, which is a living cosmos moving toward higher levels of evolution. That's our part. That's our essence. And we can contribute to it, and contributing to it is our cosmic task.
Beautiful. Irvin, I want to thank you and give Jude an opportunity to say a few last words here before I close the show. But thank you. That was a beautiful response. And I really appreciate you bringing your wisdom into this conversation today and talking about that complexity and coherence and consciousness are all three so important to this conversation. So thank you for joining us today. And
thank you for inviting me. And thank you for being part of this whole series that you're doing, which is so important.
Thank you. And Jude, do you have any last words or comments?
I do. I just like to refer to Irvin's latest book, which is very much the initiation of this upshift imperative and the survival imperative. And I wrote of it, this invaluable book empowers the urgent potential for transformative action whose time has surely come. Founded on the emergent and unitive cosmology of our living universe and planetary home, Irvin Laszlo extends a global call to embody its innate evolutionary impulse within our collective awareness, offering all of us, and especially our young people, an achievable vision, an authentic hope, for a world that thrives for the good of the whole. I just invite you and very much welcome, Irvin, any last few words, because that call to all of us, and especially to our young people, moved me so much. And I know it's a call that will be answered by very many. So just some final words, if you have any for us.
Well, it's a call to life. Life. We are part, we are living systems in a living universe. Living, to live is to be whole. To live is to love. Because that's the way to become whole and to keep being whole. So living in a universe like this is an adventure, is a fantastic adventure, becoming aware of it, waking up on this planet and finding who we truly are. Your books, Jude, contribute to that. This series contributes to that. My books, I try to contribute to that. We have to now become aware of that fantastic oneness and evolution and coherence that is emerging on this planet, despite of the surface wars and disunity and violence and disagreement. Deeper down, there is a deeper unity that is emerging, and there is evidence for it in my new book that you kindly mentioned, in Survival Imperative. I end up by showing a whole repertory of new operations, new enterprises, new endeavors that are already operating on the basis of this new understanding of who we are, who the world is around us. It's not a time to despair. It's a time to hope and to act. Act above all. Act with vision and with coherence and with understanding. More and more people are joining this movement, which I call the Upshift Movement. And I invite more and more people to do so, because that is the movement of the future.
And it's a movement of love.
Yeah, a movement of love. It's not a time to despair. And I love how you used love two times during our conversation today, and the hope and the act. Thank you, Irvin. I'm inviting you back to talk about the Survival Imperative on another show. We'll bring that to our listeners in the near future.
Very good. I'm happy to be here. I'm happy to be with you again.
Thank you, Irvin.
We both thank you so much. And here are some words from Irvin. We are part of the evolution of wholeness and coherence on the planet. And we are not passive playthings of this evolution. We are conscious beings who can recognize the evolutionary trend and can choose to go with it. Living aligned with nature and evolution calls for reforming your mindset. This is a precondition of going with the force and shifting to a better world. I'm Julie Kroll. You've been listening to the Dr. Julie Show, All Things Connected. This is part of our Conscious Planet series with co-host and author, Dr. Jude Kerevin. Thanks for joining us. And remember, together we are creating connections for the good of the whole. Until next time, I'm sending you a world of love. Bye for now. If you enjoyed the show, go to your favorite podcast platform. Remember to subscribe, rate, and leave us a review. Also, please consider supporting the Dr. Julie Show at patreon.com/allthingsconnected. When we each give a little, we all get a little more. You can stay in touch with me at juliekrollemail.com. Thanks for listening.